Welcome back to We Still Like Each Other, the podcast. I'm Travis.
And I'm Stephanie.
And this is the podcast where we show that the honeymoon stage can last forever.
Forever and ever.
What's up, baby?
Nothing much. What's up with you?
I always feel like you got to shake that robot out of you
in the beginning.
In the first five.
That was bad?
I don't know. Maybe because I know how you talk.
Yeah, now you're just looking to judge me. Yeah. But I think I sounded fine.
What's up?
Nothing much.
It's just me and you.
What's up with you, daddy? That was on purpose.
Yeah, we're here. I feel like this is the first episode outside of Patreon that's going to YouTube where it's just me and you.
From this house. Whatever. All these milestones.
Yeah, it's a milestone. We got to celebrate everything. It's the first episode where I wore this t-shirt.
Yes. This is the second episode where I wore this hairstyle.
Okay. Been wearing this one for 44 episodes.
I want to cut my hair so bad. I contemplated it today again.
Me too.
Like going like low, like mm-hmm. a one again?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a lot of work.
What's a lot of work?
You know, maintaining these curls, these luscious curls.
Did you use your beard balm that I bought you and your brush?
No.
Oh my God. I could tell.
I like the rugged look.
I could tell you haven't used it. Anyway, how was your week?
It's a great week, actually. So I'm back to like a hybrid schedule. So I'm working from home towards the tail end of the week. And it's perfect, you know, because my commute is a little longer now. So mm-hmm. it's a nice little break from the bus to the city. And, you know, in my free time, we're still organizing. Mm-hmm. So it was really good. I feel like we got a lot done this week. Not so much during, it was all yesterday, which was Saturday.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Had nothing to do with what?
Like it had nothing to do with me being home. Oh, on my
okay,
work.
Okay.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
like I was getting.
But I felt like we were rested. Because even with you being around Thursday and Friday, I felt like I was able to get like a little bit more rest, just because there was another adult in the house. You know what I mean?
Adult.
Quote unquote.
How was your week?
My week was good, and I know you're going to judge me for this.
I don't even know what it is, but let me get my judgment ready.
Okay. So there's been a lot of changes for us, right?
Yeah.
With River, with the podcast, with moving, with Eli in a new school, with me leaving my job. Like, if you've been keeping up with us, there's been 101 changes that have been happening, right? And over the past couple of weeks, I think it started the week before we moved, I've been seeing repeated numbers over and over.
No, not you too. What the fuck?
What?
Well, you want to know my zodiac sign too?
No. Okay. So before you judge me.
Okay.
I keep seeing every time I look, not every single time I look at the clock, but I see repeated numbers, specifically 444 a lot.
Great album, Jay-Z.
Yes. But I also see other repeated numbers, but I see it so often, like multiple times a day. And it's not just the time, like I'll see the number of views on our video, the number of likes on a post. Like, am I bugging, baby? Because I pointed out to you.
No, I mean, you do point it out, but every time you say it, I'm just like, okay.
And it's just a
coincidence. And what's your other favorite number to point out?
1971.
The year her mother was born.
I see it a lot. I haven't seen that, though. I feel like as of late, it's been the repeated numbers. Mostly 444, but it'll be 555, 333, 222.
You know what's bugging me about this conversation right now? There's someone listening and or watching, and they're like, yes, the numbers mean something. Yes.
They might.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, I wanted to bring it up because since it has kept happening, I was like, let me look up what this means. And I know that people have said it's called angel numbers. So I'm like, what are angel numbers? That's what I Googled. What are angel numbers?
You know, go ahead. A few weeks ago, Lotto, her, she used to go by another name, but now it's Lotto, kind of like lottery.
Okay.
And she has a 777 tattoo, which I heard her say on a Breakfast Club interview that it's an angel number. Of course, I rolled my eyes, but I've heard this term before.
Okay. So did I. So I Googled, what are angel numbers? So angel numbers are a series of repeating digits like 111, 222, 333, and so on.
But not the other.
No.
Not the devil number.
No. If you're suddenly noticing the same series of numbers in different places, some people think this is a divine message coming from the universe, God, or whatever power you believe in. So I'm like, okay, we speak about like spirituality and like positivity and like respecting whatever people believe in as long as it's positive. So I feel like, why can't I believe that these numbers are like a sign to something? Okay, so let me keep reading other things I found.
Can't believe I asked that.
Angel numbers are numbers that are intended to get a divine message to you to help you through troubling times or give you acknowledgement that you are on the correct path. They often appear in moments of doubt and when you are confused as to what will happen next and what choices you should make. And I feel like I'm in such a transitional period over the past year, let's say, from pregnancy to birth to work to everything. And specifically right now with the move, I feel like it has been times 1,000. So it's like, maybe this is a sign. And even if it isn't, because yeah, I know you're about to judge me.
You'd be surprised what I'm about to say, but go.
Even if it isn't, if it can help me put my mind at ease with all the changes that are happening, then why not?
And that's,
why can't I see a repeated number and think like, ooh, Stephanie,
and that was going to say next.
Okay.
The fact that it doesn't hurt anyone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm all about positivity. So you enjoy your numbers, my love. I'm not as into it.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, these are man-made numbers.
Yeah. So I was reading this article and it was talking about how like there are no coincidences. Like everything happens for a reason, right? And I pulled out a couple of quotes from here because I figured they would speak to you, the non-believer. But it says, whether you assign them to angels, guides, ancestors, spirits, or simply a higher state of your own consciousness, angel numbers can confirm you're on the right path, shed invaluable insight on a complicated situation, or even illuminate the powerful mythical meaning behind recurring themes in your experience throughout your life. So it's like you can apply it any way you want in a way that enlightens your own situation. Whether you believe that angels are sending you hyper-specific messages or that your subconscious is affirming your consciousness, angel numbers have made a lasting impression on our psyche.
Okay.
So then it's like, it could be that since I feel like I'm always seeing them, I'm always going to see them.
That's true. Yeah, I stick with what I said. You're not hurting anyone. I think you still have all your faculties. You're pretty
sane.
You're pretty sane. You're probably one of the more intelligent people, humans that I know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, enjoy your numbers. And if it makes you has a more positive outlook on life, I'm here for it.
Yeah. I feel like the part that spoke to me and my current situation is like, you're on the right path. Mm. You know, because sometimes you're like, did I make the right choice? Is this too much change at once?
My only concern is like when you're using these signs as
when they're,
it's like, that's Bible. Like, this is how I have to make this decision because 444 told me.
Like, oh no. Oh, like if I'm in the middle of making a decision and then I see the time and I'm like, all right, this is why I have to know. Okay.
That's my concern for anyone, not just you. But yeah.
All right, well, I'm Zen, one with the universe, and I accept you, angel numbers. All right, so anything else you want to talk about your week before we move into our did you know?
No, I mean, just really quick that, you know, I've just been enjoying our new home. Mm-hmm. It's really inspiring and quiet.
Yeah.
This morning, you were still sleeping. I went outside. I took a picture of some trees and put in my story. And my brother goes, why are you acting like you've never seen trees before?
Hater.
And I said, it's been a while, man. It's been a while. And, you know, anyone who's out in the cities, there's different trees. Like,
yeah, there's trees there.
I feel like to see the type of trees we have, you would have to go to like Central Park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty amazing that I could just open the door.
It's the amount. Because we had trees, but in the area of the city where we lived in, like, yeah, but we didn't have
like
this much.
These full green trees. Yeah. Like, our trees are like thirsty.
He's old. See, I'm not going to let him shit on the Bronx that bad. All right. We had trees. I feel like I never seen this many like cherry blossoms in the spring in the Bronx. Like, I will see one here or there. Like, there was one near my dad on Riverdale. Remember?
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There will be a couple. We live in an area where the landscaping is like really well taken care of. So there was so many cherry blossoms and like it was just the perfect time to move. Like, we moved when spring was blooming and it's just been beautiful.
I love this for you.
I love it for me too. Eli was like, Mom, is this why we moved here? So you could see all the plants? Because I would point them out every time we saw something beautiful. I'm like, look, look, look. Like, I just get excited like a little kid. But
no, it's awesome. I love it. It's awesome.
All right. Did you know?
Did you know? Sorry. Oh, I had it here.
Someone's not ready.
Got it.
Okay.
Did you know? Did you know love in the first year of romance is all about lovey-dovey gestures and butterflies in the stomach? However, after a year, these feelings give way to a more stable relation. These feelings give way to a more stable relation, often known as the stage of committed love. So basically, after the first year, that lovey-dovey shit goes out the window. And then I feel like...
No. Wait. Okay, so I get the premise. There's a different type of love. It's a committed love.
Yeah.
Which isn't less significant than that lovey-dovey part. But I feel like that goes against everything we believe in this podcast.
But it sounds...
It's like the honeymoon stage is over.
Yeah. And that's why I kind of read it, because, you know, we're trying to combat that, right? That combat that messaging. But I do think there's something to the way you love changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, maybe it's more so with your head as opposed to your heart, something like that.
Well, in partnership, it's beyond the lovey-dovey, right?
Yeah.
In partnership, you're building a life with somebody. You're not just looking for someone to give you butterflies in your stomach and like you have great sex. It's a partnership. It's
that
life.
That sounds amazing.
It's amazing, but that's not all there is to it. So when you're in a committed love, and you're working in partnership on bills and diet and health and all these things, it's not going to feel the same. You're not going to get those same butterflies in your stomach, but it's still a deep kind of love that's going on there.
I push back on this just because I feel like, why can't you? Why can't you have that lovey-dovey feel in year five? You know, what? You know, I still get as excited to see you now as when we first started dating. It's a little, I guess it is a little different.
Oh, wow. Speak your truth, King.
No, in the sense, you know, there was still a lot of unknown when we got together. Yeah. You know, I didn't know you as well as I do now. I think it's very telling that I can still feel excited to see you all this time later, especially knowing you.
I feel like, when you ask the question, like, why can't you still feel that way? I feel like the reason many people can't, unfortunately, is because they expect it to be automatic. Like, they don't have to put work into it. If that lovey-dovey thing starts to fade, that means we're doomed. That means the relationship is over, or that's it. Like, we passed the honeymoon stage. Instead of seeing it as something that you can actively work towards keeping alive. Yes.
Yeah. You know, what's that saying? Like, anything worth having, or was it like basically anything worth having is worth fighting for?
Well, okay, no, you sound not, like a fortune cookie.
That's not really the, or anything worth having is worth something. But basically, I just feel like if you really want this relationship, you're going to put the time and effort into it.
Into maintaining it.
Yeah, you're not just going to coast and just hope that, you know, 444 is going to make it all work out for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I had to bring it back.
What I was going to ask you, speaking about still being excited to see me, something I've been thinking about lately and early, something that happened with us earlier is like, I've noticed that during this period of so much change, especially in more recent times, like I haven't given a shit like what my nails look like, my pedicure, my eyebrows haven't been done, my hair's a mess. Like, how do those things like affect you and how you view me?
It doesn't. I don't know. Yeah, it
doesn't. I put you on the spot. I know.
I know for you, I more so focus on you, like how you feel, because I know it's important. You know, I could tell you you're beautiful on Tom face, blue in the face, but mm-hmm. you have to feel beautiful. It's mm-hmm. not just words of affirmation from me.
Yeah.
So if anything, my only concern is that you feel how I view you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're beautiful. You're sexy. You're everything under the sun. And, you know, I think you, there's something to it that you do it effortlessly, even when your nails aren't done, even when your hair isn't done. Like, even when you probably aren't feeling those things, I still see them in you.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's, I don't know, a week where your nails aren't done or you haven't, I don't know, curled up your hair or something, I'm not like, oh, she's really letting herself go. Like that, those thoughts don't run through my mind.
Yeah.
And I just know that when it's time to show out, like, you're going to do it. And we're home. Like, I'm not always at my best. You know,
yeah.
I'm, you know, whatever, just looking crusty sometimes. And I hope that there's no judgment from you,
no.
But I think when it's time to rise to the occasion, we both put our...
Like, you ain't going to work looking crusty.
Yeah, we both put our best foot forward, and I think yeah. that's what's important. Now, if that was... If I'm like, hey, babe, we're going to go to this event, and then you're just like... I'm like, get ready. Like, I am ready. I'm like,
oh,
like, fuck. Oh,
nah.
Now it's time for therapy.
A conversation. yeah. I was thinking about... So, I go through my phases with my hair. And it was very tangled. In the 2 weeks since we moved here, I hadn't brushed it. It was a mess. And right before washing it, I go through nearly anxiety over it. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I know it's going to take me forever to brush and comb and wash. And then I started thinking, like, we've washed Eli's hair multiple times since being here. And I make sure, like, River's nails are cut and Eli's nails are cut. And I'm on top of those things. And when you do go to work, and I'm thinking of, like, what can I have accomplished around the house for when you get here? And that's me. You don't put any pressure on me for that. But in my head, I'm thinking, like, when he walks in, I want him to be like, oh, like, this got done, X, Y, and Z got done. But I completely neglect myself. Like, I haven't brushed my hair. I haven't changed out of my pajamas probably in the whole day. Like, any of that. Like, I kind of put myself on the back burner. The kids are taken care of. The home is taken care of. But, like, I look like shit. And I'm like, I need to change that. And maybe, like, let the house go a tiny bit if it means prioritizing, like, taking care of myself.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, I want you to do what makes you feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do anything with me in mind as far as like, oh, it's 5:30, better put some makeup on. Travis will be here soon. Like, I don't want I don't want you to feel like that. I just want you to feel good with yourself. Like, I know one of your goals this week is to start working out again. Like, it makes me happy knowing that you're doing things for yourself, because I know how happy it makes you, and I love to see you in that light. So yeah.
Do me.
When?
It was like a question. Like, you know, do you, boo?
I was like, turn off the cameras.
Or leave them on. All right. So let's get into topic number one. So this topic was actually inspired because one of our followers on Instagram asked a question about a post that I shared. So the post that I shared read like this: things that we should not normalize. Expecting partners to be need-fulfilling, validating machines. Stop expecting your partner to fulfill your needs or validate all your emotions on an ongoing basis. They are not your parents. Our partners are not put on this planet to serve us. We want to foster collaborative relationships defined by mutuality and cooperation. Let your partner be imperfect and tolerate when needs go unfulfilled.
That's a lot.
Right? And I believe this. Doesn't mean I don't struggle with it, but I do believe it at its core. But the person asked, where do I draw the line between my partner isn't meant to fulfill all my needs and my partner does the bare minimum? Where is it appropriate to make requests of your partner to show up if it's not their responsibility?
Great question. The first thing that comes to mind is, you know, why removing me from, you know, the scenario? Why did you get into relationships in the past?
Removing you from the scenario, that I would say, like, wanting to be satisfied physically and emotionally, like wanting comfort and support and attention.
And do you saying it now, I almost see like your face is kind of like a little hesitant to say it. Do you view those answers in a negative light?
Not in a negative light, but I feel like it's evolved. Like, in a relationship, in a partnership, I mentioned earlier, it's about so much more. It's about collaborating on so many different things. But in the past, I will hold on to relationships or partnerships or whatever just because of that comfort of, like, not being alone. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it changes depending on your age. Mm-hmm. The things you should want out of a relationship at our age, in our 30s, mid-30s, mm-hmm. is a lot different than 18-year-old versions of ourselves. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking back to myself as an 18-year-old. You just wanted to be with the person that made you happy, the person that satisfied your needs, mm-hmm. physically and emotionally. What's wrong with that? Like, it just sounds like you shouldn't be seeking that validation from your partner. So what the hell is the point of being in this relationship if I this person is providing these things for me? It feels good. Why can't that be what the relationship is built on?
So you're saying, like, we should expect.
Yeah, because why else am
our
I
our needs to be met?
Why else am I in this union? Like, okay, and like I said, it changes depending on your age. Like, our, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot more collaboration now in a marriage at mm-hmm. our age. If we were dating when we were 18, our lives would be at different points. There probably wouldn't be as much need for collaboration.
Because you would have your life, I'd have my
exactly.
life.
Mm-hmm. But I choose you because you provide a service to me. Like, you provide good feelings. You provide a plethora of things. Mm-hmm. But also, it just seems like what you're reading is like, if you're with someone for those reasons, it's negative.
Okay. So the reason I feel like I see what this is because I've struggled with this. Like, I feel there have been times where I had a laundry list of things that I felt like you weren't doing for me, right? But then I would sit back and think, like, does he have to do that for me? Am I seeking support from him as if he were my father and not my partner? And then I will battle with this. I'm not 100% perfect. I don't have it figured out. I don't know what the balance is yet. But I would sometimes say, like, am I expecting him to be my dad? Am I asking too much? Maybe I should be doing these things for myself. But then I'm like, if I could do them for myself, then why the fuck am I with you? Like, why can't I expect you to make my plate less heavy? You know, like, why can't I have these expectations of you? But then it's like, where's the balance?
I don't think there's anything wrong with what you're saying, because, and I don't know if that makes me toxic or whatever.
With what? With which part you don't think anything's wrong with it?
Just, you're saying, why would I be with someone who isn't, there were things you felt that I wasn't helping you with. Mm-hmm. and you had this talk with yourself where it's like, why isn't he helping me take these this weight off my plate? Mm-hmm. And we've had conversations about things. I don't think there's ever been anything that was just so extreme. I'm looking at you like you have three heads. Like, how could she expect me to wipe her ass when she goes to the... And obviously there's limits,
yeah, there's
right?
limits, yeah.
But can you think of, you know, without getting too crazy, but can you can you think of something that maybe you brought to me, I don't know, a year or two ago, whenever this was?
So something that I know that's big for me that is a need because of childhood that I've expected of you was to be like a motivator. Like if I started something, like let's say I started working out and then I slacked, I'm like, why didn't you push me? Why didn't you like remind me? Or like, why'd you press play on another episode of whatever Netflix show we're watching when you knew that I had a goal of working out? Like, I would kind of expect you to hold me accountable for very personal goals like fitness, not letting me go 2 weeks without brushing my hair. And I would kind of be like, but babe, why didn't you remind me? Why didn't you check in with me? Why you didn't ask me?
And so even that, I think that example is perfect. Mm-hmm. The hair thing, I think that's more so you can be accountable for that. But back to the
But you see my hair? I'm just pushing on you to see my point.
But let me, hold on, let me get this fitness thing off.
Okay.
You're always bringing up, like, you don't want us to be old and gray and I can't, you know, I'm moving like a snail or I could barely move. Mm-hmm. You want us to be physical now so that it translates to semi-healthy bodies when we're older and we're not relying on Eli and River to take care of us, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's a positive goal. Work, fitness hasn't always been easy for me. I'm not motivated to do it. But I've also said that when you do it, it motivates me. So if we're motivating each other to do it, if we're holding each other accountable, that's looked at as positive. There's no one on the internet that'll say, they'll have no rebuttal for that. Mm-hmm. They'll push back on the hair thing, but they won't push back on the fitness thing because fitness is looked at as positive. So why can't that carry over to your hair? Why can't I say, babe, you know, you can do your hair today. And you're like, you know, you're right. Do you get my point?
I get your point. It's just, how do we draw the line? Or is it, the lines are different depending on the couple.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know, we talked about the fitness thing, bringing it back to that. I could, let's say I'm like, you know what? It's on me. I want to take care of my body. It's on me. It's on me. But then in 10, 15, 20 years, if I was 100% focused on my body and then I'm 60, but I feel 30 and you're 60 and you feel 75, now there's a big disconnect in our marriage and our relationship and the way that we can enjoy the world.
And you feel 30, but your hair looks like it.
I'm going to just shave it because I'm a bad bitch with no hair too. So fuck out of here.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it just depends on the relationship.
Yeah. Need. I struggle with it because there's still things that I'm like, like, even when we've had conversations about our parenting, like, I want you to hold me accountable for certain things I do as a mom. And it's like, should I expect that of you? Or should that just be something I work on my own? Like, I don't know.
I battle with it. Because, you know why I battle with it? It's not because, like, there's times where I see you in action and I want to say something, right? But then I'm like, if I say something in this moment, it's going to make Eli look at you like you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're ever doing anything wrong. I just think maybe your delivery might be off.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm working out the answer right now, but basically I should say something after the fact when Eli isn't around. But there is that.
So you're talking specifically about, I mentioned how In the Mother's Day episode, like, I want to stop yelling so much. So you're talking specifically about helping me be accountable to that in terms of not yelling as much and when to call it out.
And I always, like, if it's happening in the moment, I want to be like, start knocking on things like, stop yelling, stop yelling. And yeah, so I guess I just have to push myself to.
But I was thinking even other examples, like in terms of quality time together, in terms of being intentional with lessons and reading together and physical activity and being outdoors. And then it's like, I want all of these things for Eli. And it's like, I need to just do them. But then it's like, wait, what the fuck? We're parents together. It's a partnership. Like, I could have expectations of you. And just like battling between what's okay to expect of you. And then it's like, no, what I need to do on my own. It's complicated. There's no easy answer to this.
It's tough. It's tough.
Is there anything that you feel like you've expected of me that you kind of are like, oh, maybe I shouldn't expect out of her?
I don't know. Maybe I'd be reaching. No, nothing comes to mind. I think it has a lot to do with my personality. You know, there are people who expect a lot, and I'm like bare minimum guy. Like, you know, I don't need a lot to be happy. So I am, it does like fill me with joy with the little things. I think that's what the benefit of having a personality like mine. Like I don't need much. So when you do the slightest thing, it fills me with joy. Mm-hmm. Another thing I wanted to bring up really quick was, and I think I said this on the Mother's Day episode, I was saying how your happiness is so vital to like my everyday life. Like it motivates me. Is that viewed as negative in your research?
So like if you need me to be happy for you to be happy?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess technically, I don't think specifically with this topic, but there is
a
narrative of like you can't depend on other people for your own happiness.
And it's not like you're upset and I get upset, but it's like a weird vibe if you're not okay.
But that's normal, I feel. Because it's like the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm feeling off, you're going to be like, what the fuck?
But there's some people who could just be like, well, fuck you, figure it out, and come see me when you're feeling normal. And I just don't have that in me. Like, I can pick up on when you say something weird, I'm like, fuck, something's wrong. And it just, I can't get comfortable at that point because... Mm-hmm. And you know me, I'm like, let's talk about it now. What's wrong? Mm-hmm. Even if it doesn't have anything to do with me, I still want to address it so you feel better. Because I think it's pretty fucked up if I know, like maybe I just picked up on something, a face or something you said, a sigh, and maybe it has nothing to do with me. But I'm just like acting like everything's okay, back to watching Netflix, and you're just over there maybe either sad or angry about something. I think that's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people like that. I've witnessed couples who engage in that way. Like, oh, he's in a bad mood. I'm going to just ignore him until he's better because I don't got time for it.
And I guess like anything, there is a limit, right? Because, you know, what they'll say like, I ain't going to baby you.
Yeah. But that's me. I'll probably say some shit like that.
Yeah. Fuck. What the fuck?
I'm sorry, baby.
What's wrong with you? I guess being with you, I've had to learn to just be more straightforward. Mm. Like me sighing in a corner isn't going to get anything.
Yeah, because if I'm like sighing or upset, it's not a call for attention because I'm very direct. Mm-hmm. Like if I have something to say to you, I'll say it. And if I'm in my feelings in a moment and I need space, that's all it is. It's not like a ploy to get you to ask me what's wrong.
Yeah, you get what I'm not saying? Good with that.
But then if there's people who are doing it, like, for you to be like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I ain't going to ask shit. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it does. It does. And I think your way of doing things is healthier, right? Because you're forcing people to communicate. You're forcing people to use their words. Like we have, especially between me and you, I think we even proven on this podcast that we have the vocabulary to express ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when shit comes up, use your words.
Yeah.
Me huffing and puffing in a corner isn't going to resolve anything. Me saying, hey, can we have a conversation about something that's bothering me is more effective than pouting in a corner. Yeah. And I think, you know, being with you has forced me to drop that childish trait.
Yeah. Because I'm like, just tell me what the fuck is wrong.
Because if I was relying on you to come and like comfort me.
What's wrong, babe?
I would fall asleep in that corner.
You sure the fuck will. Sounds so mean.
You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And it works for us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's someone out there that's like, well, my pouting works. But yeah, not with Stephanie.
No. I mean, what's wrong? And if you don't want to tell me right away, then
bye.
All right.
back to Bridgerton.
So I guess to close out this topic, it's really hard to draw the line between that you can't fulfill my needs and you're doing the bare minimum. It's going to depend on the part on your partner. However, it is a partnership. It is a collaboration. So it should never, ever feel like you have to do everything alone. And there are going to be certain situations where you're expecting a lot from your partner. And I think that is okay. But that can't be your norm. Like, okay, I want you to motivate me a little bit. But then if like I can't accomplish anything unless you're on my tail 24/7 for it.
That's not healthy.
That's not healthy. That's like you. That's like me with Eli. I'm like, I got to remind him of everything. He's 8. I'm a grown adult. Like, that's different. But in a healthy relationship, sometimes one partner is going to take on a heavier load at times. And I think that that's okay. Yeah. But yeah, this is hard because I still struggle with it.
Yeah, I feel like we still have no like resolution here. But, mm-hmm. You know, I say do what works best for you. And if it's if you healthy looks different depending on the relationship.
Yeah. And you'll feel it. You'll know. Like I was watching this therapist on Instagram. Somebody asked her like, how bothered do you have to be to set a boundary? And she's like, there's no bothered scale. Like if you're bothered at all,
set the boundary.
So I feel like it comes to that. Like once you start feeling like, is this too much of an expectation? Talk about it. Ask your partner. Think to yourself, like, is this something I can do for myself? Can I fill my own cup? Can my partner help me with this? Is this a pattern? You know?
Yeah.
Just as if you feel it, if you're, like, unsure, like, have the discussion.
Yeah.
Even if it's with yourself. Like, sometimes I'll have these back and forths with myself.
How often are you having these back and forths?
Oh, not that often. Not, you know, it just depends on the week, like what's going on.
Okay.
I know one thing I struggle with is like, you know, we've had discussions about you doing more around the house. And when you are doing more around the house, I start to feel like, damn, the house must really be a mess that Travis is cleaning up. And then I feel guilty. I'm like, damn, if Travis is doing anything, that means I let it go. Like, no, what the fuck? I go, like.
I think, you know, I got to a point, and even when we were in the Bronx, that it's just, and you can speak to this, like, it's just something really good about your space being clean and organized. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, last night, I organized the wires behind the TV. Mm-hmm. I could have sat there for an hour just staring at how neat that the whole TV unit mm-hmm. looks now. Oh, you can see it in my work right here. That makes me feel good. Like I want people to walk in here and just have, and I want it to feel light.
And I agree with you. So that means when I see you cleaning, I'm like, damn, then that means it didn't feel like that. And he's doing the work, but it isn't only my responsibility. It's a shared responsibility. But yet, because the way we've been conditioned and then, you know, I had to carry more of the weight earlier in our relationship, I kind of feel like,
yeah, yeah. Like if he's doing something,
that means
shit.
The house is a fucking mess.
That's not it. That's
you know,
not
like I need to. It's my own shit.
Yeah, but and just so you know, it's not because I feel like you're not doing something. It's just, you know, I don't really. I know you'll eventually get to it, but for me, it's like I want it done now. I want to feel that feeling right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, like you know, when I was growing up, mom, I had a lot of chores to do. My mom had a lot of kids. I was the eldest, so I did a lot. But then if my mom was ever in a bad mood or like, and she starts cleaning up, but she's like cleaning up like passive aggressively, like slamming shit. So we all get up like, oh my God, like let's help. So I feel like when I see you cleaning, I'm like, oh shit, Let me get up. Let me help him. Like, I don't know how to just be like, oh, he's putting away dishes. All right. Let me keep scrolling through my phone. Like, I get a little bit of anxiety. Like, I have to join you.
Yeah.
Like, I can't just let you straighten up because then I feel like I'm lazy and I ain't shit.
I think there's balance. Like, there's times where you can keep scrolling and then there's times where it's like, well, I can see that this area looks crazy too. Let me back him up a little. Mm-hmm. So there's a balance, like everything.
Yeah. See, when I'm cleaning up, if I need your help, I'll be like, babe, can you move this? Can you do this? You're kind of just quiet. So I'm like, does he want me to go help him?
This bitch is.
Okay. Let's go on because we have and also y'all can relate.
Ooh, we're
and
back.
I feel like we're talking so much. I want to make sure we get to it. Have and also y'all can relate.
Remember, if you have any also y'all can relate, you can email us or DM us. And everything is anonymous. Mm-hmm. If you send us a story, just know that we're assuming that it's okay.
We can use it.
We can use it, but obviously anonymously. We won't use any names or locations or anything like that.
Yes. I would like to hear some stories about relationships with your parents because I think the Mother's Day episode got a lot of love. Relationships with your children, parenting disagreements. I would love to talk about things like that. So let's get started. So I titled this also, y'all can relate, small red flags can turn into big red flags.
Bars.
Which just is kind of like what we just said about how bothered do you have to be or how, you know, like a little red flag is a red flag.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, it's kind of a red flag.
Like a cute little red flag.
No, they're not cute. So yeah, little things can turn into really big and dangerous things. So I'm going to get started. I'm in my early 20s and I've been with my girlfriend for a couple of years, but we were also on and off in high school. It hasn't been the healthiest relationship and it has gotten physical in the past on her end. Big red flag right there. Physical abuse. I wanted to ask you about this because I feel like obviously, physical abuse is a big red flag. But I also feel like it's because of our maturity, our age, our experience, right? Like my high school relationship got physical. And I feel like it had a lot to do with the fact that I didn't have the tools to process a relationship at that age. Plus my childhood, you know, like in my head, like when you aren't getting your way, you would hit, right? Like I got hit, my siblings got hit. It was just like a way of communicating that was unhealthy, right? So now as older adults, right, and we have more experience in our hand, it's like the slightest type of physical anything is like a complete no, like it's just not ever going to be tolerated. I forgot what my question was. But basically, it was going to be about maturity when it comes to physical abuse. And is it something that could be worked on? Like, could you get over that if it's a younger relationship?
Yeah. So immediately, I thought of a younger relationship, my long-term relationship before you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember in the very beginning, there was like signs of, or not signs, there was like very slight physical something, like hands put on me and me like
tussling.
And I just remember like
the way you did it was funny.
I hit the wolf, whatever. But I remember when it happened, I was just so adamant to her that this could never happen again. Mm. And it literally never happened again.
Mm.
So it was like one incident that if I hadn't spoke up in that moment, because I just knew, even as how old was I had to be like 19 or 20, somewhere there, and I just knew that I hated that feeling and I never wanted it to happen again. And we were, you know, we had a bunch of toxic shit, but we never had any type of physical stuff after that moment. We were together for 7+ years after that, and I can never name a moment where it was like, oh, we're hitting each other.
So in my high school relationship, it was like every little fight, it became that, like me smacking him up and him grabbing me. Like he never like punched me in the face, but he would just like hold me or whatever because I didn't know how to communicate. And anytime I didn't get my way, like I was enraged, but I also used to fight a lot in middle school, like with girls. Like to me, it was like fighting was just
normal.
Normal. It was just normal, normal, normal. And then I knew since middle school that I was bisexual, right? But I always said like I couldn't date a girl because we just kill each other, right? Because I'm thinking when I was dating my high school boyfriend, if I lost my temper and I wanted to like hit him, he wouldn't hit me back. He would just hold me. I'm like, imagine it was a woman. We'd just be fucking each other up. Like in my mind, I thought I didn't think it was wrong that I wanted to hit. I just couldn't hit a woman because we'd be fighting. Now that I'm older, I don't want to fight anybody. I don't want to fight women. Definitely not in my relationships because just physical violence to me is just unacceptable, period. Whereas before it was like how to control it in a relationship. Rule number one, don't date other women. You know, like it was just, it's weird. But as I've matured, the physical aspect for me is a no-no with anybody.
Yeah.
I don't want to fight you unless it's self-defense. Like I have to really protect myself. I ain't putting hands on nobody.
Yeah, even within our relationship, I had to learn, like, even raising my voice is a no-no. Mm-hmm. Even, like, that sign of aggression is it's not something you'll accept. And it's also unnecessary. You know, there's nothing that's going to come from me raising my voice, let alone putting hands on you. Like, and also knowing how much you're against it, I asked myself, is even a strong shoulder grab worth losing you over?
I just look at your hand like, oh, no. I
might
know.
As well have like shanked you.
I don't like feeling threatened at all. Like, I don't like the feeling of like, shit, what would I have done had he like struck me? Or I don't even like to think about that shit. Like, I don't like it. And I feel like even with me, like, is why sometimes I need a minute. Because I don't want to say something. I don't think I would ever, like, get to the point where I want to, like, strike you. But I don't even want to say or scream or verbally just say something out of character. So sometimes I just need a minute before we can address certain situations.
You know, back to us for a second. I give you kudos because I could maybe say one or two times where you kind of like hit below the belt verbally.
Okay.
But it's not. And these, I'm talking like early where I probably deserved it.
Yeah.
You know, jokingly, but you know, you don't do that. And I appreciate that because, you know, I've been in situations where you're with someone who's just using every personal thing you've ever told them, or maybe
that's
like
crazy. Cause this is going to come up in this story.
Or just even things you're insecure about. To you know, what's up? Low jab,
low blow, yeah,
low blow, yeah,
definitely. I remember thinking like physical abuse, it depended. Like if somebody got into a fight in a relationship, I'd be like, but what did he do? Or what did she do? Right? Because then you also hear about abuse where it's like just one partner gets home and they're just beating up the other partner, like just cause they had a bad day at work. So in my mind, that was abuse. But like, if y'all got into a verbal argument and it got physical, it's like, you know, that's just what happens. Like that's normal in relationships. In my mind, at one point, that's what I thought. Like that was okay, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, or like if there were no bruises, like, they're just tussling. But no, it's all bad. It's all red flags and you gotta be careful. I'm going to move on. We moved in together about a year and a half ago, and the relationship has just gone downhill. She's become more controlling and says, I see my family way too much. Red flag. She limits me to 2 times a week. One day to see my mom and her siblings, and another day to see my sister and nephew. Right there is where I got scared. Because when you talk about like signs of domestic abuse, that's like number one. They're trying to isolate you.
Textbook.
Yes, like isolating you 100%. And I'm like, that's now you could see them 2 times a week. Down the line, it's going to be once and then it's going to be never.
Maybe there's more to this story, but I'm just wondering how someone could write this to us reread it
and not realize how bad it is.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of scary.
I think what happens is people need to hear it from someone who doesn't know them personally, right? Because, you know, let's say I'm just using this as an example. I disagree with something my sister's doing. She ain't gonna hear me. But if she hears it from someone else, she might be like, oh, damn, it must be right. It isn't just my sister being a big sister. Like, this is really a problem now. But yeah, controlling, isolating. Like, why do you need to isolate me from my family? What's going to happen down the line? Why do I need to be distant from them? Then on top of that, she starts blowing up my phone after 2 hours of being there. I understand wanting to make each other a priority, but she believes that I have to distance myself for her to be the priority. She always goes through my messages with my family to see if she's being talked about when she never is. She's paranoid too.
Hell yeah. Fuck.
First of all, you do not need to go through anybody's phone. If it gets to that point, if you're like have to look through messages, it's already too far. Like, you're already that distrustful. And it's not even on some jealousy.
Or cheating thing. It's like, I want to see what your family's saying about me. That also, to me, sounds like she's aware of her shit,
of
right?
Of her own shit. And she's like, I want to know if her family's telling her.
Yeah. Like, I know I'm fucking crazy, but no one else better know that I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want your family to convince you of it and push you to it.
That's why we're here.
And that's what reminds me of something we talk about a lot, about the whole narrative of don't tell anybody your problems. Because that's what the girlfriend wants. She wants her family to just be completely out the loop of the toxic shit. She's so afraid of them knowing what's going on in their relationship.
I do, like, you know, like anything in this world, there's balance. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't think you should be spilling every little thing that happens within your relationship to your friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need an outlet, you know. I would hope you have friends in your life that if me and you got into something, you could pour into them and they could.
Recently, I have a friend that we text each other to complain about our husbands. I'm not going to tell you who it is. But it's like petty shit that like other people wouldn't get if you're like not married, especially if you're not married to a good person.
Trying to think of who your married friends are.
So when you're married, don't try to guess now on the show. But when you're married to a good person and you have to complain about something, people look at you like, bitch, like, who cares? But you still need to let it off your chest sometimes. So I have a friend who sometimes we text each other like petty shit, like, this motherfucker. And I say, I ain't going to fill it in.
Give me your phone.
But yeah, that's a red flag. She doesn't want her family to know what's going on because she knows that it's bad. Whenever we argue, she always starts name calling and putting me down about my weight gain. So what I was saying, you were bringing up the low blows. That's like if we got into a fight and you're like, you haven't brushed your hair, bitch.
Yeah. I can't even make light of this. Yeah. This is like,
it's bad.
It's bad. I feel for the person who, you know, sent this in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, we're not in it. We're looking at it from the outside in. So it's a lot easier for me to say, run.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, but run.
Yeah.
Like, literally run. Like, that's so unhealthy. And I don't think this moment has to be like the defining moment for your girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure with work, 5 years down the road, she could be good for someone else. But right now,
mm-hmm.
she's no good for you. Like, get the fuck out of there.
So later on in the story, I was going to save it for later, but you brought it up. She has mentioned like wanting to go to therapy. Mm-mm. Should I give it a chance? So you say no.
I say no. So, I think
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't deny that you are in love with this person. This person at one point was someone you saw yourself being with, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can give them the fact that, listen, I don't think me and you should be together. But I do think it'd be positive for your life in general, just even if you eventually do meet someone else.
You need therapy. Exactly. You need to work on this shit. And who you are right now doesn't have to be who you are forever. Mm. You can be a better person.
Exactly.
Like, you're redeemable. But
right now with
me, like I can't give you any more of my time, my space, my energy. I could see that, because sometimes it's like the push she needs might be that she actually leaves her.
And you said how old?
Early 20s.
Yeah. Like I'm not liking what I'm hearing, I'm not going to like demonize this person and say like they just need to be alone forever. No one can ever love them. No, I don't feel that way. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like in this moment, what I know about this person from this very short story, one, you need to leave, and two, they need to see the lady and like see them every day.
Yeah.
Because they have to really work through some shit.
So I'm the type, like, I don't want to tell people like, no, therapy won't work. Because I know, and I mean specifically couples therapy for them as a relationship. So my suggestion was like, if they're going to actually commit to it, yes, I do feel like you could give it a shot. But then you have to hold yourself accountable that if they stop being consistent with the therapy, you need to exit. If they stop going, or if it's not working, or if the therapist is telling them to do the work, whatever the work might be, and they're like, I don't got to do it, then leave. But I totally see your point too. But the story's not over.
Oh boy.
It gets worse. She insults my family and has even disrespected me by grabbing my father's ashes. If I start to ignore her when she's talking poorly about me, she knows that it would trigger me and get my attention.
So like, I'm
ignoring you because I'm annoyed. And you're like, don't ignore me or I'm going to drop your dad's ashes. That, when I read that, I was like,
I'm tripling down on what I said a minute ago.
Run. Yeah.
You are in your early 20s, and I always say this to my younger brother. I say this to people in his age group. I know it's hard not to imagine that this time in your life is not the most important time, mm-hmm. but you have so much life to live. Even me at 33, I still have so much life to live. This time in my life is going to be gone like that.
Yeah.
And before you know, I'll be 43, and I'll be like, damn, remember when I was 33? Mm-hmm. So you in your early 20s, especially, run.
Yeah. That's one thing I feel like this show can do for a lot of people is give them, basically, it's like we could be the big brother and big sister to a lot of people who don't have it. I feel like a lot of our listeners who write into us are in their early 20s. And maybe the things we're saying, they've already heard it from their parents or people really close to them. But sometimes you don't want to hear it from them. Okay. Just recently, we have been arguing a lot and haven't seen eye to eye. I know logically we aren't healthy for each other. So she knows. And this relationship is toxic. She knows. I admit, after months of emotional and verbal abuse, I have also said things out of anger, but never to insult her. More like, I'm done with the relationship. I'm not happy. Right there, I saw that she tries to blame herself. Like, oh, I probably deserve that. Or I have also been bad. Like, she's trying to find fault in her own actions.
Wait, let me put some things on my list just so this is a little more.
She doesn't seem as bad. No. Don't guilt yourself. Don't feel like you're equal to her or like you guys deserve each other. No. I'm at a point where I don't know whether to let go or walk away or keep trying because I am emotionally attached to her. I feel like the attachment is coming from the fact that she was who I came out as gay to my parents. And she was there for me through my dad's alcohol addiction and his death. It's hard for me to let go, even if I know I should. So even though she's attached to her because she was there for her, her support through her father's addiction and his death, she's also now using that, one of your most vulnerable experiences in your life. She's using it to manipulate you when you ignore her. Like literally taking his ashes and saying like, I'm going to smash them.
There goes your 444 right there.
is aligning.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
that they cancel each other out immediately.
Yeah.
So how, you can't say in one sentence that she was there for me with my dad's battle and his death, and then in the same breath say she picks up his ashes and threatens to drop it when I'm not paying her any mind.
That's it. Cancels out. Forget that she was there. Yeah. Because she took that experience, that vulnerable experience, that moment of sadness, weakness, heartbreak, and she uses it against you when it's convenient for her.
Yeah. Listen, like I said, I don't think she's like scum of the earth. I just think she is no good for you. And, you know, plenty of people aren't with the person they came out to.
Yeah.
I'm not with my first love. I'm not with my second love.
Yeah.
I'm with the love of my life, and that's what matters.
Period.
But seriously, like, you're going to, early 20s, you're going to fall out of love. There's going to be so many cycles to your life. This isn't it. And, you know, everybody's journey is different. You may know people in your age who are like married to their high school sweetheart, or maybe in the LGBTQ community, you know someone who's still with the person they came out with. Unfortunately, that's not your story, but it doesn't make your life any less fulfilled.
Yeah. Tune in to Let's Chat, the podcast. They have a huge community, so follow them for sure.
I know JoJo and Daira would be making the same faces that we are right now and telling you the same thing. Like, this is no good for you. I just want you to start your escape route, because no bueno.
So speaking about escape route, so the just the tip for today is to not allow money or housing keep you in a relationship, right? Which is ironic in a way, because I'm not working, but it's different. However, once you start feeling like what you're feeling right now, have a plan, right? I did have a conversation with this young woman, and she mentioned like, oh, if and when I do decide to leave, it's going to be another hurdle to jump, because it's like, what do we do? We have this apartment together. Like, what? No. When you decide you got to go, you just got to go. You can't allow that to be a reason. So I say you have to do a couple of things. One is put money aside. If that's impossible, if you cannot save your own money, because realistically, like this economy, some people pay their bills and they don't have the money to save. And I don't want to make it seem like just because you can't save, you can't escape. Have a friend or a family member that knows that, like, I'm in a difficult relationship right now. I'm not ready to go. But if and when I decide to go, can I come here? And it's not an indefinite, it's not like you're going to move in with them forever, but say, if and when I'm ready, if I feel like I need to escape this relationship, can I come here? And make a plan. Like, if I do decide to come here, it'll be for 30 days, it'll be for 60 days, it'll be for 90 days. But find someone that you trust, that you love, that loves you, and is going to give you the space to do that, right? Because sometimes people were like, oh, no, you decided to get in that relationship, I ain't going to help you, then fuck that person.
Yeah.
But you need to have somebody who's going to say, when you are ready, I'm here for you. And I know that's hard and it takes vulnerability, but do not wait until that moment where you want to go and there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
That's it for me.
Yeah, that's it for me too. Best of luck to you.
Yes.
So we've been on the Patreon wave.
Yes.
And we have a lot more content on there. I'm happy of how much we've been delivering. So with that, I'm going to leave you all with a 5-minute little bonus clip of what we've been doing on Patreon. And if you're enjoying it, come check us out over there. We would love to have more of you.
Yes.
But my love.
Daddy.
Do you still like me?
I really, 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 really like you.
Peace, y'all. And just having that support, like, just to be honest. And, you know, people, every time I tell someone, they're like, oh, you have a babysitter. But it's more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that. Because, you know, I'm sure some of you could speak to this. Like, you have family that'll like make sure your kid doesn't die.
Like, you call them over to babysit. Like, they're just there to make sure everybody's okay. And then
you
okay.
have those friends and family that go above that, where
they're
it's like,
actually giving them
let's
guidance.
Go ride a bike. Let's go. Let me teach you this. Let's, you know, it's more than just making sure they don't die. We appreciate the people that make sure our kids don't die, but that's not enough. Mm-hmm. At least not for us. So that was the exciting thing. One, the first thing for me, honestly, was, oh, Steph would hook this spot up. And then second, very close second, was the grandparents. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we're checking every day, nothing. My mom and her wife are sending us
listings, yeah,
in the area
for other apartments like around. So but now, they all sucked.
And some of them were cool. But for me, it's like, what's the point of living all the way out here where I'm not getting, like, I didn't envision that.
So this was the problem with the other apartments in the area. They were either more affordable, but the same exact space we had in the Bronx. So we're like, we're moving an hour away to not get more space. That doesn't make sense. And although it's cheaper, Travis' commute to work is a little more expensive. So the amount of savings wasn't significant enough to not increase our space. It didn't make sense. We needed both. We needed more space and to save money. If we didn't get both of those together in a place, it wouldn't be worth a move. Then we would find other places that were bigger, but we weren't saving any money. And Travis' commute is going to go up. So it was going to increase our cost of living. And we're like, no, that doesn't make sense for us either. So unless something opens up in the same community, so this is a townhouse, so there's a bunch that look just like it. Unless we get something there, it's not worth it.
And
week after week, nothing was coming up. Nothing was coming
up. So one day, my mom's wife, she saw a lock on this house and was like, that looks like a, I'm assuming she thought it looked like a realtor lock.
Yeah.
So she went as far as leaving a note.
Yeah, so we were like, we don't see it listed anywhere. So she said, I'm gonna leave a note on the door.
So I remember the day, we were getting some pressure from our, the management company to renew. They were basically,
where we lived.
They were basically like threatening us with like court.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, fuck. Also, on top of that, Steph was stressed on the uncertainty.
Like, yeah, I didn't like the fact that it was the second week of April and we hadn't signed the lease and we also hadn't found a new apartment. Like, I don't like that. Like, I like to know what's happening.
So with that in the back of my mind, I was getting a little stress from her stress.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I remember the day I was like, fuck it, I'm just gonna sign.
I was like, what are we doing?
And I'll just renew the lease and we'll figure it out.
We'll stay here at least another year.
It's gonna be like, tight.
But we can afford it at least to pay our bills.
And I was thinking, you know, this will be beneficial because, you know, when we have guests, the Bronx isn't too bad for people to travel.
Guests on the podcast.
So I was like, all right, this is a pro.
Mm-hmm.
So that day comes and I think it was in the morning or the evening.
It was in the evening.
My stepmother texts us and says, hey, sorry, I didn't get back to you sooner. They responded on my work phone. So they had messaged her from the morning.
Wait,
saying,
who's they, baby? Be clear.
A realtor.
From how did they reach her out to her?
From the note.
From the note on the door.
So the realtor got the note and responded to my mom's wife. And what's crazy is they responded from the morning, but she had wrote down her work phone or her work mobile and she didn't check it till that evening.
So thank God we didn't actually renew the
lease. So all I kept thinking was like, yo, what if I had renewed and then they reached out? I would have literally vomited.
Yeah, we would have been sick.
Like, you ever seen, what show is that where they always, Family Guy, when everyone is like a chain effect of vomiting? That's what would have been us. River would have been vomiting.
So they reach out. This doesn't mean we got it, but we were like, okay, let's not sign the lease another week. Let's see what happens.
So when did we schedule?
On Friday, April 9th, we went and saw the apartment.
And my mom came with us and we left the kids. So we left the kids at my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet the realtor and